Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Justin Klein listens to your questions.
What does it mean when a company's share price falls to cheap prices and executive insiders don't buy more?
My question is, how much of your portfolio should you put into like ETFs and mutual funds?
I had a question about Dutch Bros. It's going to be a new IPO.
And provides unbiased answers.
I think the bet on the raw materials that go into electric cars are going to be far better than the electric car producers.
Invest Talk, across America and around the world. Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Thursday, November 11th edition of Invest Talk, and I want to start off by thanking all of our veterans. It is Veterans Day, so happy that those that are around for us and those that have passed, that you served our country well, and I thank all of you. Now, we see in the markets right now a lot of consternation about inflation, and investors, some investors are panicking, others are not. But whether your goals are short, medium, or long term, you have to have an appropriate strategy for those particular goals. And that's what we are here to help you do, is to build the tools necessary to develop and implement the right investment strategy, saving strategy, spending strategy, etc. So on today's podcast and program, I'm going to operate with my mission statement, which is always independent thinking and shared success, which means that no matter what I talk about, I'm going to give you the facts as I see them using my 20 plus years of investment experience and the data that I have. And so if I'm talking about a stock, a mutual fund, an ETF, a particular asset class, a strategy, whatever it is, I'm here to give it to you without bias. So I'm Justin Klein. Of course, I encourage you to contact me with your finance and investment questions. And when you do that, you get to shape this show to your liking. So I encourage you to call me right now during our live stream program from 4 to 5 Pacific time. Or if you're listening after hours, no big deal. Just leave a message on our Invest Talk voice bank. As always, either way, the number never changes. 888-99-CHART. So let's get right to our first listener question now.
Hi, guys. This is Eric calling from LA. I love your show. My question is about IIPR, Innovative Industrial Properties. I bought what I figured was an equal share, like around $29.50 several years ago, and now it's almost a 10-bagger. So anyway, it's far outgrown any of my other investments that I equally invested at the time. So my question is, how much would you normally take out? It seems to keep going up, and I have like some FOMO, and you always talk about taking away profits. I probably have made an extra 20 shares through dividend reinvestment. So I was wondering, what would you guys do? Because you've always talked about rebalancing your investments. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Thanks a lot.
All right, this is IIPR. This is a company we've owned for clients currently. We've owned it for roughly a year or so, something like that. It's trading at $277.40 today. So clearly you've done very, very well. Now, when you're rebalancing, I like that you're starting to think about that, rebalancing. And so many people need to do that. They should do that. They get kind of tied to a particular stock and they fall in love with it and they never sell it and they don't rebalance. And obviously, there's always the fear that it's done well and it could continue to go up. And that's certainly true. But any company that's too large a position of your portfolio becomes too big of a risk for you. And that's why you need to trim. And it sounds like you're in that place. So really it's more about what is the percentage of the portfolio you have in this name now and what your target allocation should be, probably somewhere in the 3 to 5% of your overall portfolio. That's probably what you need to trim it back to. Now, obviously, there may be tax implications for that you need to consider. You probably want to do it into strength as opposed to into weakness, et cetera. And right now it is relatively strong. And this is in the cannabis space. So they rent grow facilities. They license, purchase, create grow facilities for operators, and they extract high returns on their capital. And therefore, that's why the business has done so well, and the growth is so strong. So I like the name, but you should right size your portfolio. Like I said, 3 to 5% of your overall investments. Now, my focus point today is based on the story behind this headline. Younger women are narrowing the gender investing gap. Nearly 3/4 of millennial women aged 25 to 40 are now investing outside their retirement accounts. And compared to other age groups, they are also more likely to invest for specific goals. So that's interesting as well. So we're going to look at that story and what that could mean for a new generation of investors, not just millennials, but millennial women. And also what strengths they might have that we can all learn from. And we're going to dig into that. Also, inflation. We talked about inflation. We're doing a webinar on inflation in a week. And there was some signals yesterday that the CPI number that came out, that hit the highest level since 1990, that sparked a shift in the market. Now, it's early. It's only been 2 days, yesterday and today. So definitely you can't draw huge conclusions yet until there's continued follow through. But definitely some big moves that could be meaningful in the market. So we're going to look at that. Then also next year, typically the second year of a presidential term tends to fall short when it comes to stock market annual performance. That's just naturally how it tends to go. That doesn't mean it has to happen, but long-term average return on the S&P is roughly 10%. And historically, more often than not, the second year doesn't meet that level. And so there are some other factors. Remember, you don't look at that in itself and make a decision or anything. It doesn't mean the market has to be bad next year. Maybe it's only an 8 or 9% year versus a 10% year. You know, we'll see. But there are some factors that you have to look at that could cause an equity market that, once again, doesn't have to be bad, doesn't have to be a recession, but maybe not as bullish as it was so far this year. So we're going to look at those figures. And then lastly, does sustainable investing help the environment? Does it help the environment? And there's some definitely some arguments on both sides, like most things, pros and cons, but we're going to dig into that as well. But let's check out on the market today. You had the S&P up 2.5 points, very, very kind of flat day on that side. You had the NASDAQ, that was up 81 points, which was interesting considering the bond market was closed because of the holiday. The bond market was closed. But if you look at the ETFs that track the bond market, yields went up again. The IEF was down 37 cents today. TLT was down 22 cents today. So remember, when these are treasury-linked ETFs. So if these go down, it means interest rates are going up. And so there certainly was a follow-through on that side when it comes to the ETF signaling that rates will continue to go up when the bond market reopens tomorrow. You had gold continuing to have nice strength. The GLD was up almost a dollar today. The GDX, that was up 79 cents, about 2.5%. So you're seeing that follow through, that strength as real rates. Remember, when real rates are current nominal rates minus the rate of inflation. And with inflation numbers continue to kind of power higher, that's putting real rates lower, and that typically is good for gold. And you're seeing definitely a breakout on that side as well. So if you look at the growth to value side of the market as well, what outperformed, what underperformed, growth actually had a better day than value, modestly, very, very modestly, really a know-nothing day, a do-nothing day on that side from that perspective. So that was kind of the overview of the markets. We'll know a lot more when the bond market reopens tomorrow. But this is Invest Talk, and we're heading into a quick break. And here's a reminder that At the halfway point of today's podcast, I'm going to play an interview I conducted with an expert on the easy way to create a will or a trust. So if you want to tune into that, you know anyone that would be interested in that, tell your friends about it. And now, if you want to put your question in the mix, give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
The time is getting closer. The free Invest Talk Wealth Webinar, Investing in an Inflationary World, Thursday, November 18th at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. It's free, but you have to register in advance. Go to investtalk.com, click on the register button. Now, Steve and Justin are taking your calls live. 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to Andrew in Philadelphia looking at Penn, P-N-N, Penn National Gaming. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
Hi, Justin. Yes, I'm looking to buy Penn. I saw that it recently pulled back about 20%, and I had this on my watch list for a while. So I was hoping to get your opinion.
Yeah, this is definitely interesting. And the reason it pulled back, you're probably aware, is this article that came out in regards to David Portnoy. And basically, Penn National Gaming bought Barstool Sports, which Dave is the, I believe he's the founder or CEO. You know, he's kind of the head personality over there. And he's instrumental in kind of the popularity, especially amongst young people in the gambling space. You have Davey's Day Trader when he was day trading. I don't know if he's still day trading stocks or whatever. But, you know, he's a personality, and he's a popular personality. And there's an article that basically says he has had some rough run-ins with women along the last few years, it sounds like. And obviously these are allegations and et cetera, and he's denied them. And that's really why this is down so much, because a large part of the value of Barstool Sports is that Dave remains kind of this, you know, kind of conservative figure within politics and sports, and you know, he's an interesting guy, let's just say that. And so the big question is, will this hit piece really take down Barstool Sports? And I kind of tend to think no. I think he's kind of has an audience that isn't apt to cancel him. He's kind of in charge of his own platform with Barstool Sports, where no one else can kind of cancel him unless, you know, Penn shuts it down, which I don't think they'll do considering how much they spent on the acquisition. And then technically it's into some major support here around $55 a share. And I still think it's a good value. And the other side of the business, which is a regional gaming operator, they own 41 gaming properties with 48,000 gaming machines, 1,300 table games, 2.4 million square feet of gaming space. So it's a big regional gaming player. And so I'm going to give this one a thumbs up. It's into support. And you really have to believe, though, that this will pass with Dave Portnoy. And Barstool Sports will still remain strong and a growing brand, especially in the midst of online gambling, sports gambling, continue to rise and be more popular, and maybe, you know, being legalized nationwide, et cetera. And I think that has to be a key part of your belief. If you believe that, then I think it's a good buy here. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Bennett in Georgia looking at ELY, which is Callaway Golf. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
Hi, Justin. I own a couple shares, and I'm looking for just a long-term position, and I'm looking to get some more, and I'm just looking at a good time to buy in.
So here's a question. Why are you looking to get in? What makes you excited about owning Callaway Golf and obviously the growth or lack thereof of the golf industry?
Well, they've always made great golf equipment, and they just acquired Topgolf not too long ago, and I think Topgolf has been on the rise in the younger generation.
Okay. So I think that is a good strategy, I'll say that, with Callaway, diversifying their business, bringing maybe younger people into golfing, being able to sell their equipment there, et cetera. I think that's a good acquisition. Here's my problem. Golf is a sport that is declining in popularity. Yes, it had big popularity during the pandemic when getting out outside was what everyone wanted to do. You could socially distance very easily. Very popular business. Made $6.78 in 2020. This year, only supposed to make $1.71, down 75%, down another 66% in earnings expectations for next year to 58 cents. So I think a lot of that has been backloaded. I think that you're going to guide lower. And so I would be, it would have to be much lower in the mid to low teens before I would pick this up. Thanks for the call. We're going to a break. Give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
Got a portfolio to grow and protect, so get your finance and investment questions together and call Steve Peasley and Justin Klein. They're ready with their unbiased answers. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to Sam in San Francisco. He's looking at Marsh and McLennan Companies, Inc. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
I'm looking to buy it.
Okay. Now, for everyone out there, Marsh McLennan has different lines of business, mainly risk and insurance services, as well as consulting. And their business has been doing well recently. You see earnings are up last quarter, up 32% year over year, yield 1.3%. And over the last decade or so, the return on equity has been trending higher from the mid-teens in 2011, trailing 12 months now up to 29%. So obviously, that's very, very good. Good trend there. The big question is, will there be a reversion in the mean? We'll see with that. But what is your main reason for potentially owning this business?
Just the growth on the company. I see there's a lot of growth in the past 5 years. And I'm just trying to figure out when is a good time. Should I wait for it to go down, or is it a good time to jump in now as I see the company continue growing?
Okay. Well, one thing that worries me a bit is that premiums have gone up pretty dramatically, about 15% year over year. But those increases look to be flattening out as of late. So that's one thing that would have me a bit worried at these valuations. And then if you look at those valuations, enterprise valued EBITDA right now is about 18.5 times, which is much higher than it typically trades at, more in the mid to low teens. So I do think it's a bit overvalued, and the momentum is starting to wane a bit. But I like the company. I like that this is on your watch list. I just think you're a bit overvalued here, and it needs to come back down into probably the low hundreds, 120, 125 in that area. That would get me interested in this name. But at these prices and what I'm seeing in the insurance market where the premium increases are flattening out, I think it's a bit ahead of itself. So I would be patient. Keep on my watch list. You'll probably get a good buying opportunity sometime next year with probably a more volatile market. And that's when I would think about picking it up. Thanks for the call, Sam. Let's go to Noel in Napa. And he wants to ask about a book.
Yeah. Hi, Justin. Yeah, I'm currently reading The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham. I'm sure you're aware of that book. Mm-hmm. And this one is the latest revised edition. I think it's copyright 2003, so it's the latest one. But of course, this comes from way in the past, Benjamin Graham. But this has the preface and appendix by Warren Buffett, and it has commentary by Jason Zweig. But anyhow, on page 405, Benjamin Graham warns, convertible securities always come out of the woodwork near the end of a bull market, largely because even poor quality companies then have stock returns high enough to make a conversion future attractive. But I haven't heard the word convertible security in a long time. And do they exist much anymore to make this appropriate? And if it is still appropriate, this verbiage, where would I check on it?
Well, it is. They're still around. Convertible securities are still around. Tesla's a perfect example of a company that has issued a lot of convertible securities. And remember, basically what a convertible security is it's a bond instrument, low yielding. And instead of, in place of yield, you're basically purchasing a call option on the company. And so when people are very bullish on the underlying company, they're willing to pay up for that call option, and therefore the yield on the security is very, very low. And typically these companies that are issuing them are not making a ton of money. They need to borrow a bunch of money. Tesla's a good example, and that's why they tend to show up near the end of these bull cycles, is because there's a lot of confidence in these companies, and there's the willingness for these companies to sell shares at higher valuations as well. And so that's certainly true. Now, is this an environment where convertible securities are very popular? Not really, because I think there's other vehicles, there's other ways to speculate that's a more pure play on the upside of markets, right? Just buying calls outright. Other speculative plays like crypto, et cetera. And so from a total risk perspective, they're not, I don't think, high risk enough for people on average. And they're a bit too complex, I think, for a lot of people as well, because of the bond side and the equity call option, et cetera. So I wouldn't use this in this cycle. Now, the next cycle might be different. It might be all the rage, but it's not something that I think is a hallmark of this particular cycle. But great question, and love that you're reading that book. Now, in the next Invest Talk, story behind this headline. Big business bosses are warning that supply chain issues and inflation are here to stay. Companies around the world are battling supply chain bottlenecks as post-pandemic spike demand converges, with industrial production struggling to catch up after a lengthy COVID-induced shutdown. Steve will walk through the twists and turns of that story tomorrow for you.
Look at the calendar. We are into November and on our way to Thanksgiving and then Christmas. But now you've got finance and investment questions. Steve and Justin welcome your calls. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Welcome back to Invest Talk, and right now we're going to pivot to an interview, and sometimes we bring on special guests to the show to educate us on specific topics, and today we have a partner from Trust and Will, and he's going to, it's never too early to start gift shopping for the holidays, especially today when you can save big on a gift your favorite people will use every day, Raycon wireless earbuds. Listen, I've been using a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds for over a month, and the audio quality is amazing. Comparable to what you get from other premium brands, except Raycon starts at half the price. And with seamless Bluetooth pairing and a comfortable noise-isolating fit, you can start listening right away and keep listening for hours. They come with 3 sound profiles and an awareness mode, and the new everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. Raycons offer 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. There's also a built-in mic, and you can take calls on your earbuds at the press of a button. So this holiday season, get your loved ones something they can use for calls or music, for play or work, at home or on the go. Or pick up a pair for yourself. Trust me, you're going to use them every day. Go to buyraycon.com/invest today to unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your Raycon order. But hurry, this offer is available for a limited time only, and you don't want to miss it. That's buyraycon.com/invest to unlock up to 20% off your Raycons. Buyraycon.com/invest. I think small business leaders should know about JustWorks. Simply stated, JustWorks makes it easier for you to start, run, and grow a business. JustWorks is the ultimate HR platform for small and growing businesses. It provides simple software and expert support for benefits, payroll, HR, and compliance. Across the country, small businesses with big dreams love JustWorks for its simplicity, intuitive platform, and time-saving features. Whether your team is remote or in person, you can give them access to national, large group health insurance plans and manage onboarding, payroll, PTO, and compliance, all in one place. With JustWorks, you can onboard new employees with ease using an intuitive online platform. Take the guesswork out of employment and tax regulations and requirements. Access national health insurance plans so your employees can get coverage no matter where they live. Get help setting up sick leave policies and administering harassment and discrimination prevention trainings that comply with state and local requirements. Save hours on time tracking that will sync with payroll. Plus, access 24/7 expert support as well as certified HR consultants to get answers to your questions whenever you need them. JustWorks makes it simple to hire and manage remote employees across all 50 states. Find out how JustWorks can help your business by going to JustWorks.com. That's JustWorks.com for more info. JustWorks.com. JustWorks.com. Give us an education on estate planning and why it is important. And so we're going to welcome Andres Mazabel. Welcome, Andres.
Thanks, Justin. Appreciate you having me.
No problem. Let's start it off with that first question. Why is estate planning important?
Great question. Estate planning is really making the decision, the conscious decision of what happens to your loved ones and your assets when you pass. So it's you taking control instead of a judge or a court making those decisions on your behalf. So really it's around peace of mind for your assets and more importantly, your loved ones.
Well, that makes sense. And why do you think people put off the planning process so long? You know, people kind of procrastinate on that. Is it just because it's cumbersome, it's difficult, it's expensive? What are the main hurdles for people to actually go and do some estate planning?
Yeah, good question. I think for our perspective, it's really lack of education. That's where we at Trustin will lead with education. Most people that you talk to, they understand the concept of estate planning, the importance of it. But many people don't understand what their options are, how you create it, what information do you actually need. And then for most folks, when they think about estate planning, they think it's very expensive. And in the history of it has been, right? So for maybe a young family that's had their first kid or bought their first home, the thought of spending, you know, $2,000-$3,000 like it is here in Southern California, it creates barriers. So lack of education, cost, and then the complexities behind it are typically the main triggering points why people try and put it off as long as they can.
Got it. Now, that's covering why people don't do it. How about when should someone create an estate plan? What are those markers that say, okay, now you need to really think about doing an estate plan?
Yeah. So typically what we see, and we've done a ton of studies around this, the biggest triggering point, Justin, is when someone has their first child. It's this conscious, man, I have to look out for someone else, right? So that's typically when people really start thinking about it. But we actually have members on both spectrums. We actually have folks that, for example, turn 18, and their parents are encouraging them to set up an estate plan because now they're going off to college. Now they're going to need a power of attorney, a HIP authorization. So literally as young as 18, but to answer your question more specifically, we typically see a big uptake when a family has their first child.
Got it. That makes sense. Now, let's say someone has a first child or they just don't have an estate plan and they feel like they need one. What are the options? Obviously, going to an attorney is one. There are some online solutions like Trust and Will. What are the pros and cons of each option as well? Because I'm sure not everybody's going to fit an exact route for the best way to create their own estate plan. But can you give those pros and cons between those two solutions?
Yeah, I like the way you framed it. Typically, most people have only had the option of an attorney, and it's why more than 60% of families don't have an estate plan, right? The barriers that we kind of talked about. So now with platforms like Trust and Will, which we offer the state-specific documents in all 50 states, we essentially have very specific templates for every state that are designed and reviewed by attorneys. And we're now enabling a client and a family member to be able to create the documents and customize them depending on their needs. So think literally TurboTax, but for estate planning. So a couple of different things that come right off the bat. What are the main differences? One is we are led with technology where the client is actually driving the platform, but we do offer live customer support. So if someone has a question, they can actually talk to a live representative at Trust and Will, either online, on the phone, whatever's more comfortable for the member. And then obviously with an attorney, the difference is you're typically going into the attorney's office. You're going to be going through, you know, the questionnaire, which our questionnaire is directly led by the customer that they're entering directly on the platform. And then from really the beginning to the end process, it's fairly a similar flow. It just really does depend on the complexities, the asset level that a family or even an individual has in terms of what is the best fit for them.
Now, what percentage of people need an attorney to really build out a complex plan? Are most plans fairly straightforward and boilerplate?
Yeah, most plans are. I mean, if you think of most families, all right, let's you know, use an example of husband, wife, they have maybe two kids and they own a home. And maybe one is a business owner, the other one is a W-2 employee. I would argue that maybe, you know, 70%, if not higher, of the population. So with that type of very simple, straightforward example, those are typically the folks that just need a very simple, straightforward estate plan, but still be able to customize it for their needs, right? So if a family has two kids, but they're younger, they might say, I don't want my children to receive all these assets when they're 18. They may not be financially responsible at that age, right? So it still allows a family to customize it and be able to make it fit for what their priorities and values are to make sure that it really aligns with what they're looking to accomplish.
So it sounds like 80, 90% of people can use an online solution like Trust and Will and get everything they really need, probably at a lot lower cost.
Correct. Yeah. And that's typically where, you know, with our platform, Justin, it's many folks can come in and just talk to us, you know, hey, this is my situation. This is what I'm looking to accomplish. And depending on that, we can kind of better guide them to see, you know, is our platform a fit or do you have more of a complex advanced estate planning need where you might be better off just working with a local estate planning attorney?
That makes sense. Now, when people think of estate planning, they probably don't know what goes into an estate plan as a whole. So can you kind of go over that of what a full estate plan looks like, what documents are created to make sure all the boxes are checked?
Yeah, absolutely. So we really think of estate planning as, you know, planning for when you pass, and then also planning, very important, especially what we saw in the pandemic last year, is planning if something's to happen while you're alive, so incapacity, okay? So we're looking at, obviously, either a will-based plan or a trust-based plan, which is, you know, going to really help dictate how you want assets distributed, who is going to step in as a legal guardian for children if something's to happen to you and or spouse and your children are not as age 18 or older, how your assets are distributed and how. And then most important, or very important as well, is if something happens to you while you're alive, car accidents, you can't go into a bank, you can't make a medical decision. So all of our documents also include a power of attorney, a living will, which is for your healthcare directive, and then also the HIPAA authorization. It's a federal form that essentially allows you to dictate or to pick and choose who can access your medical record. So this is a big thing that we lead with is, you know, many, especially younger families think of estate planning as, yeah, I'll get to that later on. I'm way too young to think about this. One, we have no way of knowing when and if something is going to happen to us. And then two, there's a statistic out there that almost about 70% of the time, we are going to face incapacity in our lives. Maybe not ourselves individually, but a close friend and or family will face incapacity. So how can we make sure that we have these documents, that we're not putting a burden on our loved ones, and really just making sure that we have all our ducks aligned and make sure we have all our documents executed. So, you know, not if, but when something happens, we have that peace of mind to know that, you know, we're not going to be placing a huge burden on our loved ones or friends.
Interesting. Now, a lot of people think of estate planning and maybe trusts and wills, and they're probably unclear of what the difference is. Can you kind of clarify that for people so they know maybe if they might need a trust versus a will?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's typically the education number one that we provide through our platform. But essentially, a will-based plan is your simplest way of creating an estate plan, right? So you've known about this from, you know, you can write a will literally on a napkin and have it, you know, witnessed. It essentially helps you determine where your assets go and how, but it does still go through probate. And depending on the state, probate can be very simple, or like California, it can be very complex, very expensive. A trust-based plan is typically for families with a higher net worth. And again, everything is very state specific, but I'll give you an example here in California. Most families with assets above $166,000 would be opting in or looking into a trust. And really the main difference with the trust is it totally avoids probate. And if for any listeners that aren't aware of the term probate, it essentially is a court ordered process in which a judge is helping determine where the assets go, how they should be passed. So by having these legal documents in place, you're essentially giving you the option to skip that process, not have a judge determine that, and you make those decisions on your behalf.
That makes sense. Well, so a will might help a judge transfer those, but you still have to go through the probate process. Now, I've been the executor. I was an executor of my grandfather's trust. And one issue I see, and you probably see that a lot with clients that have existing trust and estate plans, is making sure the documents are where they need to be. You know, it's hard to sometimes file them and make sure that they're in the right place, that the right people have it and know exactly what it says. Sometimes pieces of the estate plan get lost, etc. So what I think is interesting about the online solution is that it can be saved online, it can be sent to those people. What does that process look like, and how much headache does that solve by having the documents kind of live online?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. So a couple of things that come up. One, we make sure that a member understands the next steps. Notarization, witnessing, depending on the state. There's actually some states, we actually give you an example. About 2 years ago, we created the first e-will in U.S. history, allowing someone to actually create their documents, but then also within minutes, notarize it directly online, which is incredible. And then two, to your point, which is super important, many people in some cases create an estate plan. They go to the attorney. They don't truly understand what's actually inside the estate plan. And they forget to actually educate people named in the estate plan, or even where are the documents? How would you access them, right? Like, I had scenarios like this when I was in private banking at my former career, where many, many families would walk in and say, someone passed in my family. I'm the trustee. I don't know where the trust is. They have no information or what it actually means to be a successor trustee. So very high level overview. We're the first company that's actually ever allowed a member to electronically share their documents with an executor, a beneficiary, even a financial advisor. And then it also allows that person, individual, to be educated, right? So we have very specific articles. You're a succession trustee. What does that mean? What to expect when you step into that role, to really help in the education side of it and the accessibility as well.
That's incredible. Well, you know, hopefully this helps a lot of people. I know I created my my estate plan through Trust and Will, and it's just a very easy to use platform. And thank you for being on, Andres. And if anyone out there needs some help, you can reach out to me. I can help you with the process and help you help answer any questions, etc. So thank you again, Andres. And hopefully this educated a lot of people on the ins and outs of the estate planning process.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Now let's pivot to our main focus point today, which is that younger women are narrowing the investor gender gap. And this is a study from Fidelity Investments 2021 Women in Investing Study. And it shows that during the pandemic, younger women are improving their investment know-how. Two-thirds of young women see the value of investing for a specific goal compared to just 56% of young men. And that is a big part of this as well, is that they're focused more on the planning side and tend to have a focus of a goal that they want to hit with the money that they're investing. And that's a big factor of being successful. It's an underrated factor, is creating a plan. Men tend to be more fly-by-the-seat type of investors. And some 60% of women are worried about retirement compared to only 51% of men. And before the pandemic, women were retiring with only worth $70,000 less than men, and nearly one in five women had nothing saved at all in 2020. And this is one of the biggest regrets for boomer women, is not investing more when they were younger. And so younger women are definitely figuring this out. And the access to advice and knowledge bases have gone a long way to help shift this gender gap. And it's definitely very nice to see. And it's very intentional for these women, and they're being successful, which is exciting. Now we're heading to our final break, so give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
Your objective is to work hard, plan well, and achieve financial freedom, right? You're in luck, because Justin Klein is here now, ready to take your finance and investment questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to Abhijit in Fremont. Let's talk about Rivian.
Yes. What looks like the prospects for that company?
Well, the prospects of the company are oftentimes very different than the prospects of the stock, and that's what that's your real question. The stock has done well, and it's recent IPO, and that shouldn't be a shock really to anyone. It's very hotly discussed. It's a hot IPO, and typically hot IPOs perform well at the out the gate. Now the question is, will their ultimate business be able to live up to the current market cap of $104 billion when they're expected to, let's see, they lost $1.17 last year, 66 cents last quarter. And so this is really what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a very expensive stock that's going to have monster results to live up to this valuation. Now, you can have confidence in that, or you cannot have confidence in that. I don't see the risk versus reward being great, but if you have great confidence that this is the next big car brand, electric car brand, and I think their vehicles look great and very interesting company. But I also know what it takes to grow into a $100 billion market cap. It takes a lot of success. So that's really up to you to decipher. I'm not going to be buying into that, but if you are, then you know, you would buy this and hope for that that growth to continue. Let's go to Robert in Pleasanton. Look at an NRZ, which is new residential investment. This is a looks like a mortgage REIT. Yep, 8.8% yield. Is that what you're chasing, this yield?
Yeah, I am interested in the high yield, and I have a little bit of familiarity with this company just from working in the mortgage industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they have recently purchased another company. They are coming into what the mortgage industry calls the non-QM space, offering some more flexibility in underwriting guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certainly a big market for that. So I'm just curious to see what your thoughts are on this as an investment.
Well, historically, this company has been a relatively poor allocator of capital. They've been paying out their dividends by issuing more shares and adding more debt onto their balance sheet. And that's really been the trend. And that's the issue here is when you get a disruption in the marketplace, this will decline rapidly. And you saw that pre-pandemic, this was at $17.59, fell all the way to $3 and change. Now it's at $11.42. So the longer term trajectory is down. Yes, you're getting 8%, 9% yield, but you're falling probably more than that annually. And so your net yield is not that great. And their overall asset allocation is relatively poor. So, you know, you can spin all some stories about their acquisition and, you know, this current environment might be beneficial, et cetera. But at the end of the day, they're just a very niche bank. They're borrowing short, they're lending long, and, you know, owning mortgage assets. And, you know, which mortgage assets they buy, you know, it's a competitive marketplace. So squeezing enough yield out of that to make up for overall a high leverage balance sheet, not something I'm interested in. So I would absolutely pass on New Residential Investment Corp. And the mortgage REITs. I just don't think everyone chases these yields, but if you look at the chart, you look at the total returns of these companies, they are not very spectacular. And I keep saying this. I don't know how many times I have to say it. I've said it for a decade plus. Just because rates are low doesn't mean you go out and buy anything with a shiny big yield. You have to understand the overall risk in the overall business and whether they're allocating capital properly. Just because they're allocating capital towards you, the shareholder, with some dividends, doesn't mean that they're not destroying shareholder value. They can easily do that, and oftentimes they do, especially with these mortgage REITs. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. Steve Peasley and I thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which now have hit over 36 million. Get yours anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play, and be sure to rate and review. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.